Okay, so let me just say this is March, what's the date? I'm sorry.
12.
March 12th, 2008. It's about 10 minutes to 1. We're sitting in the principal's office at Coral Way Elementary in Miami. And so what I'd like to do right now is to make sure that you all you've already consented on paper, and I just want to make sure that you all consent to this interview. So what I'd like you to do is, if you'd like for your name to be in the interview, just go ahead and say your name right now into the microphone.
Alejandro Perez.
Cristina Vasquez.
Eduardo Carballo.
Mejania Vega.
And my name is Richard Ruiz. I'm one of the principal investigators for the study. Bess DeFarber, who is back there recording other things, is the other co-investigator. She's at the library at the University of Arizona, but she's also a graduate. Did you graduate? Oh, yeah. Graduate of Coral Way. She was here in 62, 63. Mm-hmm. So she was a member of the first bilingual class. And I'm a professor at the University of Arizona, and my work is in bilingual education, language planning, and I do work all over the world. So that's why I know that Coral Way is known everywhere, not just in Florida or in the States, but everywhere. So let me just ask a few questions of the principal, and then, again, if any of you have comments, please be free to do that. And I'll also have some other questions, not specifically for the principal. So let me just ask you initially, how did you come to be principal at Coral Way?
Well, it's an interesting story. Back in 96, I was fortunate enough to become the assistant principal here at Coral Way under Ms. Mejania Vega. So I spent about 6 school years here learning the bilingual program, learning under Ms. Vega, learning what it takes to run a bilingual program in the sense of scheduling, in the sense of staffing for teachers, in the sense of the curriculum of the school. Back in 2002, I was assigned to Comstock Elementary, which was another elementary school in the area, to become the principal of the school. Then in 2006, I was called back out of Comstock to come back to Coral Way to, number one, become the principal and transition the school from a traditional elementary school to what now we call our Coral Way K-8 Center. So we've moved from Coral Way Elementary to the Coral Way K-8 Center Bilingual School. So now we're a kindergarten through 8th grade school with approximately 600 students. And just 4 years ago, it was a traditional bilingual elementary school with approximately 1,200 students, 1,250 students. So I've been gone full circle, I think. First coming as the assistant principal, leaving to another school for 4 years as principal, and having the distinct honor to be able to come back in 2006 as principal of the school and transition the school from a traditional elementary to a full-time bilingual K-8 center.
So it's still a bilingual school. It hasn't changed that aspect.
Yeah, the bilingual program has been here since 1963, but it's still a full-time bilingual school from pre-kindergarten all the way through 8th grade.
Can you tell me how or if there is a kind of consortium of bilingual schools in Miami or in South Florida that Coral Way is part of, or are you part of a larger organization of bilingual schools?
Well, I'm not sure for a large organization, but I know that there's numerous schools in Dade County, in Miami-Dade County, that are implementing bilingual programs, and they usually follow what's called the Coral Way model, which is the 60-40 model, which is 60% of the instruction done in English, while 40% of the instruction done in Spanish. There's numerous schools, and Ms. Vega is a consultant with some of those schools, in particular Ada Merritt K-8 Center, which is also follows the bilingual program, and they're also a K-8 center. So I think there's numerous schools throughout the district that have implemented bilingual programs in the last 20 years or so, and I'm going to let Ms. Vega just jump in and say a few words about that. I'm sure she has a lot more experience in how many schools have really implemented bilingual programs in the last 15 years or so. Ms. Vega?
Well, as Mr. Perez said, this is a model that has been duplicated because the district wants to just try to encourage success programs, and Escobar Way is one of the success stories in the county public schools. They are just duplicating the effort, and right now we have like 8 dual language programs that go after the Core Way dual model, and they are the only one that is K-8 at this point. Well, because the only one that is K-8 is Asian Merit, but others are mostly bilingual, elementary schools, and they follow pretty much the. In the last 4 years, we have been implementing the Asian Merit K-8 and the Lower Park Elementary, which is a very interesting model because it's a school that is in 98% African American population. It's an elementary school, so the Hispanic population is very small. And they started 4 years ago in K-1 doing the 60-40 format, and right now we're in the fourth grade. So we will be adding the fifth grade, the last grade level in the elementary, and it's working very well. We have had our growing pains, of course, like everything else, but it's doing very well, and it's really the first model in an African American. Population of that type, so that's something that we are really very proud of.
So it looks like the district is accepting of this, is interested in developing this. It's not resisting this. Do you sense any resistance anywhere from the community or from other schools or from the political leaders or anything of that sort? Is there any kind of resistance to this kind of model?
No, I don't see any resistance currently from Miami-Dade County, but I think they're very supportive of bilingual education. Even our current superintendent always talks about learning a new language, learning a different language, learning a second language. And I think they're very supportive. The bilingual office downtown, which is bilingual education and world languages, is very supportive of Core Way and the other bilingual programs. And they're implementing a lot of different other bilingual programs. I get principals calling me constantly to come and observe the school, to come and learn about the school. They're always asking Christina for schedules. How do we schedule our day? How many minutes are in English? How many minutes are in Spanish? How many minutes are in mathematics? How do you schedule your day? When do they go here? When do they go there? So there's a couple schools in Region 1, which is a Hialeah area, that they're also implementing the bilingual program. So I get numerous visitors from principals that are implementing bilingual programs, not only English-Spanish, but also English-French. There's Marie Brazil, which is a principal in a school in a part of town that is a lot of Haitian and French-speaking individuals, and she's implementing a bilingual French program. So it's going to be half... she's following our model, but instead of being English-Spanish, she's doing English-French. So resistance at this point, I would say... Since I've been part of, they've been very supportive. The community has been very supportive. I have a waiting list of students trying to get into the school, and so that we have to sometimes turn away.
Unfortunately, can I ask you about your staff? There are lots of schools around the country that constantly have to be recruiting staff because they lose teachers all the time. What about your situation here? Are you replacing teachers a lot, what I'd like to ask is, what criteria you use, since you're a bilingual school, what criteria do you use to hire teachers? What are the standards you use to evaluate teachers as you're hiring?
To attract teachers hasn't really been a problem at Core Way. I mean, sometimes it's difficult in certain situations. The last 3 years, we've been transitioning from a traditional elementary to a middle school or a K-8 center. So we've been hiring numerous staff members every year. But I think now we've implemented the full K-8 that our number of new staff members that are going to be hired is going to be a lot less than the last 3 years. When I first got back in 2006, there was 26 new teachers to the school. Meaning, because of class size amendment, those teachers, new teachers had to be hired, plus implementing seventh grade, which is a whole new grade level, a certain group of teachers need to be hired. So the last 3 years, we've hired a lot of new teachers, new to the school, not necessarily new to the district, but new to Coraway. But I think now for the next couple of years or the next few years from this point forward, we're not going to have a lot of turnover. Most teachers stay here for many years to teach. Some here stay and retire. Some teachers just leave because of family issues, family concerns. But, you know, a high turnover, I wouldn't say there's a high turnover. You know, do we attract a lot of teachers? I constantly get resumes from teachers all over the district, new teachers, teachers from outside the district or outside the school system that want to come and teach at Coraway.
Are the teachers evaluated anyway in terms of their language proficiency in both
languages? If a teacher is going to be hired for the Spanish program, they are given the language proficiency assessment that Ms. Vasquez, my lead teacher, did for every teacher this year again. So there's a series of questions that if they're fluent in Spanish, do they comprehend the language? Can they read and write the language? So, and Mr. Caballo, which is the lead teacher at the Upper Academy, he is part of our interview process to make sure that the Spanish teachers we're hiring, number one, are certified in the language that they're going to be teaching, and they're proficient in the language they're going to be teaching. Mm-hmm. And if
the for the middle school, as well for the elementary, but in the middle school, the big problem is to say no. We have a big list of people trying to get here into Coraway, and the best teachers want to come to Coraway. Then it is not a difficult thing to select teachers to come here. And I can say very proudly that we have the best staff, at least in the Spanish language portion, because we teach math in Spanish, and we have humanities and the language and literature in Spanish. And we have doctors in the math department. We have, most of them are engineers from Cuba and from other places. And we have doctors in history. Really, we have the best staff in the Spanish portion that you can have anywhere for the middle school.
How long have you been affiliated with this program?
When I was studying to be a psychologist, not to be a teacher in New York, I took as a minor classes in education, and one class was in bilingual education, and like you, I studied about Coraway, and I said, I wanted to teach there. And it happened that I came here and I taught in many other schools that were very good schools, but it was very hard to have an opening here at Coraway. We are a family. And people they retire from here. And I came to with other principals, and they say, yeah, I will tell you whenever we have an opening. And finally, Ms. Vega was here, and we knew each other because she was a bilingual supervisor, and then she was a principal here. And then she wanted to open, in 1995, she wanted to open the bilingual gifted, completely bilingual and completely full-time here at Coraway. And she called me. And I have been here since 1995. We wrote whatever she said. It's up to you. You write the curriculum. It's up to you. And I was the Spanish portion with other two teachers. And we wrote the curriculum. We presented this curriculum to everywhere. And Coraway is always a pioneer. Because as we were pioneering bilingual, as we were saying, we were the pioneer, the first bilingual full-time gifted in the nation. And then I was teaching in gifted for 10 years, and the following principal was Pablo Ortiz. We went to open the middle school, and he told me if I wanted to be the lead teacher for the bilingual school in the middle school, and I said yes. And since then, we are now in eighth grade. This is the first class graduating from Coraway for eighth grade here.
That's really amazing. And one of the things that I want to make sure that we do is we correct a lot of the record, because a lot of the historical record is distorted or wrong. There's even one fairly influential book that has every book that talks about the history of bilingual education or even the history of education has Coraway in it. Sometimes it's a paragraph, sometimes only a couple of pages. And sometimes it's just wrong. There's one book that's very influential that says that the bilingual program in Coral Way started in 1963 and ended in 1968. This is totally wrong, right? There are still people who are in the program. So that's why I think it's important to correct the record. Can I just say one more, ask one more thing specifically for Mr. Bettis? Apparently there are other researchers who've come to Coral Way to research, or is that not true? I mean, has there been other people who come here to study Coral Way? What's going on with Coral Way?
I think there's been researchers since I've been here just these 2 years back as principal. I haven't had a lot of researchers. I think you would be the first one, but I know with Ms. Vega, you know, the many years that she was
over the years,
I believe, and I'm sure she can speak on behalf of that, but since the 2 years I've been here back as principal, we haven't had really, per se, as a university researcher or researching that. We've had newspaper articles, we've had people come talk about the school, you know, more on a local point, but I think at more of a, like you said, a national or international level, the last year and a half, we haven't had any researchers. We've had articles done about the school, those things, but I think Ms. Vega, since her time, she's had numerous researchers. Ms. Vega?
I think this program has been researched by every sector of the universities, and although we have had a few studies done at the University of Miami here, and then we had a long-range study that was done by Johns Hopkins University that was like in 97, 98. Huh. They followed the students for 3 or 4 years, and then they just came up with the results and all that. And then we have had people even from Israel coming down here doing studies about this program from London, everywhere, because like you said, this is a school whose program has been published in many different languages and in many different parts of the world, and there is a big interest in how this has been evolving into what it is now after so many years. Because you know, you start a program and it just blossoms, and then it falls, and it doesn't. It's not in the in thing anymore, but this program has maintained the interest, and there are numerous studies.
Yes, one of the things that we've noticed is that there are a lot of studies about the model, the bilingual model that you're using, and the way in which the students go through, and perhaps on the parental attitudes, the attitudes of the parents about that and so on. There are relatively few studies, in-depth studies, detailed studies of the history of the program from the beginning. The B.B. Mackey that a lot of us know, that you just showed me, is one of those, but it was very early. It was early 1970s. I think it was published in 72. Which is okay, and actually it does give quite an interesting picture of the school. But one of the other things that we've noticed is that very few researchers have ever talked with for example, the teachers from that first group, or for the students of whom Bess is one. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do is to get that fuller picture, right, of your school. Let me ask, and again, anybody can contribute, but I'd like specifically to know what your role is, since it's a bilingual school, right? And your role, Ms. Vasquez, is what in the school?
I'm the lead teacher for the elementary school, uh-huh. And Mr. Carvalho is the lead teacher for the middle school. And I'm the coordinator for the International Studies Program. It's an agreement that the school has with the Consulate of Spain, where a select group of students stay for another extra 5 hours a week, where we follow the Spanish curriculum. But when I say Spanish curriculum, it's a curriculum from Spain that those students follow. So my son and my daughter study here. So I was a student here in Coral Way, and my kids are here since kindergarten. My son is in fourth grade. My daughter is in fifth grade, and she will continue in her middle school here as well. And for me, it's still very exciting when I walk down the hallway to feel that I'm not just part of this big family, but I do feel the big responsibility that we all have in continuing not this program with, how it is, but to even, improve it and put it a step further than what we have.
When did this international program start?
The international study program.
No, that started in the late 80s.
Oh, okay. So it's been around for a while.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It was originally a program that was created for Sunset Elementary, which was a magnet school, and that school had the agreement with the Ministry of Education of Spain and all that. But then afterwards, the Corway was accepted into that program, and ever since it has been in the international studies program. And our students, like Cristina said, what they do is that they have to cover some of the things that the curriculum in Spain covers that are not covered here. Our program is so much apart the program in Spain that we used to have a trip. We used to take our student fifth graders to Spain for 2 weeks. Then afterwards, with all this terrorism and the things that we are waiting, I think it's coming back now, which I'm glad, because that was a wonderful experience. And those students used to spend 2 weeks in Spain, and they used to attend school in Spain. Our students, our fifth graders, they used to attend school in Spain for 2 weeks, and they managed perfectly. The curriculum, they had no problems. As a matter of fact, even the professors said something along the lines that they did even better than the students there, Mr. Caballero.
Well, yes, this program, we have been going with Sunset because it's the other elementary, because this they have it not for the middle, but for the elementary to go to Spain for 2 weeks, and 1 week is in the school and another week going around and traveling for culture. And I remember 1 year that they told me that our students were in one class, and the professor said that he was going to have a test, but our students didn't have to have it because they were not from the beginning studying that. But if they wanted it, they were not going to do anything to take the test anyway. And they took it, and one of my students at that time in Gifted was the highest, had the highest record, the highest punctuation in the test, and he was a student who was in my program that he didn't speak Spanish when he came to Coraway. Then he was a student who learned Spanish here at Coraway, went to Spain, and was the best grade in that test, and the professor there couldn't believe it.
Wow, that's really amazing.
I'm going to be going this year to Spain. It's organized by CIPA. It's the Spanish International Parent Association, and it's organized by the parents. Uh-huh. So we're going to be going students from Sunset Elementary and also from Coral Way. We're going to be going to Spain for 10 days. CIPA always invites one teacher from Sunset and a teacher from Coral Way. This year, they invited me. And I'm going to be, and my daughter's one of the students who will be going. And they're going to be attending a school in Spain for 5 days.
And you really didn't want to go, but they persuaded you to go,
yes.
Right?
I'll sacrifice myself, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about, because we've established this now, it's a 60-40 kind of model, right? Can you tell me how these, or anyone, can you tell me how the classes are staffed in terms of, because sometimes these models are different in different places, right? You can have a 60-40, but for example, they might be arranged by time of day, they might be arranged by the teacher. One teacher is a Spanish teacher, another teacher is an English teacher. They might be arranged by subject, where some of the subjects are in one language and other subjects are another, or whatever. Can you just give me a sense of how that works?
Yes, here? Well, I can explain to you, from kindergarten to fourth grade is about the same thing. It's pairs of teachers. pairs of teachers. One is who's in charge of the English and only speaks in English, and the other teacher who does the Spanish, but this is the way it's composed. The English does language arts, reading, grammar, and it's either one of the content areas, either science or social studies. And then the other teacher, the Spanish teacher, does Spanish, reading, language arts. They do different stories. We have different series. It's not the same thing. It's one enriching the other language. And the mathematics is 30 minutes in English and 15 minutes in Spanish. Now, usually they use that at the end of the math class. Usually it's to review something they've already studied and the concepts mainly, and one of the and one of the content areas. Our teachers plan together. They plan twice a week. I think that is extremely important. They're all on the same page. They all know what they're doing. You go to one class, you go to the other one, everybody's doing the same thing. Once a week is the whole grade level. Another day, the Spanish component of that grade level plans together, and the English teachers of that grade level plans together. So I think that is extremely important. When they meet with parents, they meet together as well. Because usually, you know, when a kid does very well in one language, he's doing very well in the other, and vice versa. When he's not doing well, it's good to have, you know, input from both. In fifth grade, I don't know if Mr. Perez would like to explain the way they're doing it this year.
Just want to piggyback on some of the things that Christina was said. In the elementary, what we call the K-4 area of grades, some I have different models going on, but one of the models is where she was saying one English teacher, one Spanish teacher, the English teacher teaches in English, Spanish teaches in Spanish, and then sometime during the day they flip, and then the kids move to the other teacher based on the language. One of the things we've been able to do here, we have some co-teaching models where you have an English and Spanish teacher in the room together at the same time. So then there would be one English teacher, one Spanish teacher, but in the same room with the kids the entire day. So that lowers class size, that gives them more opportunities, and most of the time, the two teachers can speak both languages, so you have two teachers helping in Spanish and in math and in English. When we move them to fifth grade, we change it a little bit because we're transitioning the fifth graders to our upper academy, which is the middle school. Mm-hmm. So we don't do the English and Spanish per se. Now we do what's called a track of four groups. So we have eight teachers. There's a track of four and a track of four. They do language arts in English, mathematics bilingually, English and Spanish, Spanish and Spanish, and then content, science and social studies bilingually. So that prepares the students, number one, to get ready for the different type of schedule they're going to have in middle school, and it allows the teachers to specialize, so they now become specialized in the area that they're teaching, the math, the language arts, the Spanish, and the content area. Mm-hmm. So when we transition those students from fifth to our upper academy, then it's a whole different schedule. Then we go on a seven-period schedule throughout the day, where four of the classes are conducted in English and three of the classes are conducted in Spanish. So you have language arts in English, science in English, social studies in English, and the elective: art, physical education, band, business technology, French. We offer the third language also as an elective. And then the three classes in Spanish would be mathematics, conducted in Spanish, Spanish language arts, and Spanish humanities. So each group is a little different from that one.
So when you say upper academy, it's like middle school or junior high grades.
The lower academy.
Do you, and this is not a question I anticipated, but since you're talking about it, is there any problem that you're having with, for example, the No Child Left Behind requirements for middle school certification and all that kind of thing? Is any of that an issue, a problem, if anything, here?
At the present moment, it hasn't been a problem. With the No Child Left Behind, we've been able to meet all of our different subgroups. We've been able to meet the standards as they continue to raise the bar and continue to raise our subgroups' proficiency level. It's getting harder and harder. But at this point, for the last 6 years, the school has maintained an A grade. It has made AYP. This year will be the first year that we have a full K-8 grading system. where we'll have from third all the way to eighth grade with the different subject areas that are being tested in the different grade levels. So this will be the first year that we have a full range of scores from third all the way to eighth grades.
I was actually going to ask you about if the school has been recognized recently for student achievement. What are the assessments that are used for student achievement?
Right now, where the main assessment is the Florida Comprehensive Assessment FCAT. Test, which is the FCAT.
Which I understand is happening right now.
It's happening actually this week and next week. Basically, this week we have third doing does reading and math. Fourth does the writing plus that they took in February, reading and math. Fifth grade does reading and math and science. Sixth and seventh grade do reading and math. And eighth grade does reading, math, science, and writing. So the eighth graders have already conducted the writing test, have already participated in the writing test. They did reading yesterday, they do math today, and they're doing science on Monday. So all of those scores will count towards the grade based on all the results, based on the FCAT. Then those are the tests that, you know, will base our school grade. We also give next week the norm reference test, which is our NRT. Norm reference test is more of an SAT type of test where we get a comparison for the rest of the country, how our students are comparing to the rest of the country based on a norm reference test.
And I imagine...
Even the first graders are taking an SAT this year.
Oh, my. I assume from what you're saying that your students are doing well.
Yes.
That's great. Can I ask you about the materials that you use? How do you pick them? Where do they come from in both English and Spanish? Where do you get the curriculum materials?
You want the elementary?
I'll talk in the elementary. Well, in the reading language arts, in the English, the whole district is using Houghton Mifflin. That was a district... scenario, so I mean everybody uses Houghton Mifflin. In Spanish we use Scott Forstmann as a textbook and we use our practice book, but we buy a lot of chapter books, a lot of reference material, a lot of anthologies, and a lot of we try not to buy any translations, but buy literature that was written in Spanish by authors that write in Spanish. So we complement, you could say, with the textbook.
And how is it that those decisions are made? Is there a committee makes the decisions? You make those decisions?
Well, the thing is that we follow the Sunshine State standards, mm-hmm. and we do have our objectives and our goals. So based on our long-term planning and our short-term planning, based on that, we look for literature. Mr. Carvalho and I, as a matter of fact, once in a while, when we were in NAVE, we were walking down the hallway, we're always looking for new material and new books. And we also have a very good relationship with different editorial companies and people that represent books that even come and pass by because they say, can we try it out in Coral Way first? Do you think this is going to be good for us to try it out in other schools? They always like to pass by and come by and ask for our opinion and for us to try it out. So...
in the middle school, we follow more or less the same. We have for language arts and for math, social studies, and science. These are adopted by the state. Then we have to have these books as test books. Mm-hmm. And even this year, we have it's the first adoption that we have for the Spanish language. And then we follow the books that for the Spanish language that are adopted. But because we have the international program, also, with the books that we use in the international program, in the middle school we don't follow like elementary, that they have 1 hour extra, but what we have is like this during the day, and we have groups. The whole school is bilingual, but then the students who were in the international studies in elementary, and they are in the middle school, they are in special classes only for these students. That way they can have the curriculum from Miami-Dade, but also the curriculum from Spain. And those books are the books that are used in Spain. We don't use any other books. It's the books that are used in Spain. In any middle school in Spain, in that grade, we use the same. The only thing is, like we have teachers here that are paid for from our district, or teachers who come from Spain that the Spain government pay, but all of these teachers that we have in here always say that our students are better prepared for this material than the students in Spain. Then we, like Cristina was saying, specifically in the middle school, we have some stories, some short stories, but we also introduce them to novels, like from García Márquez, Lorca. But of course, they gradually, I mean, it's whatever they can read at their psychological level, but it has to be books written in Spanish from Spanish authors. We don't have translations and we don't have versions. If we cannot read the book because it's very difficult, we don't read it, but we read something else according to their age, but we don't have something that is translated from English into Spanish. And this is something that we are pioneers also, because everybody is saying, how can you do that? And of course, we don't do, if we are going to do Lorca, we are not going to do the La Trilogía, La Casa de Bernarda Alba, because it's too difficult, but we can have some other material that is more to their age. Also, in middle school, we have many courses that are high school credits. For example, our students in the 8th grade, in the international program, they take AP language, not language. When they go to high school, the only thing that is missing is AP literature. And this is in the international, but the rest of the students who are in the bilingual program, they go to high school with 2 credits in Spanish already, because our Spanish is very high. Also, in humanities, they take in 8th grade, they are taking Latin American history, and this is credit from high school also. And in 8th grade in science, they take the students who are advanced in science, they take Earth and Space, that is a high school credit. And the ones who are in math, in the highest level, they take algebra, at the high school level.
Oh, sounds like a very exciting thing.
Even in 5th grade now, they're reading Juan de Pareja. Juan de Pareja is a 7.5, if you look in the accelerated reader.
Yeah.
And they're reading it in 5th grade. So.
Going along the things that have happened at Coraway that are really unique. Once we took a project of staging a play from Federico García Lorca. It was the initiative of Mr. Carballo, and it was performed by teachers from the school. It was a project that took the whole year, because some of the teachers, of course, none of the teachers that acted in the play had ever before acted anything, neither in English and even less in Spanish. Some of them were even English teachers that were not that good in Spanish. But Mr. Carballo had that vision, that dream. Yes, we can do that. We need to incorporate our faculty in the stories of the writers and of the literature of Spain. So he decided that it was going to be La Casa de Bernarda Alba. And we presented the project to the Consulate of Spain, and they right off the bat, they told you are crazy. You will never get that done. You have to get something simpler. Something that is more in tune with the people that you're going to be using. But we did not listen, and said we are going to do it. Mr. Carballo started selecting the people, and then we hired a theater director from Cuba who was somebody that could really get those teachers and get them to the level that they needed to start performing. Like I said, it was a whole year project, but at the end, it was in June. It was such a success that even theater directors from here, from Miami, when they saw it, they couldn't believe that those teachers had gotten into that play and had done such a tremendous job. And we are very proud of that project. That was something that Coraway did that has never been done before.
Well, the thing is, like, what my vision or my idea was, like, because Coraway participates in a lot of things. We do a lot of things here that... It involves theater also, I mean drama, and we are doing in the international program, at the end of the year, they represent something cultural about what they have been doing here in the international program, and we participate in everything like that. And I say, well, how about, because it's very hard for the teachers to do this kind of thing, how about if the teachers do something and they are more involved in that? And it started like me, Dania Vega was saying like that, but we were a little bit like, the consul of Spain is saying like, we cannot do that and we have to. And then it transcended a little bit to be a project, like it was going to be an educational thing. And then we said, let's hire somebody else, because I was directing first and doing the production. But then we wanted to get to another level and we hired that director. Then it was such a good thing. I mean, we had the television came and taped it, and that even the consulate said that it was one of the best performances that they saw, even in Spain. Mm-hmm. Then it was something that we are very proud of.
And something, well, actually, that brings up a question that I had about professional development for teachers, the way in which the teachers are developed professionally, since it is a bilingual school and it's different from perhaps other kinds of development experiences that students, the teachers have. How do you arrange for that, or what happens?
Well, we participate in all the professional development that the district has to offer. Sometimes we do in-house, sometimes we do outside, where they go to different workshops. Especially now during the summer, we have a lot of opportunities for teachers to go to week-long summer institutes in either English or in Spanish. Cristina does one of the Spanish ones during the summer. So we make sure that our teachers that have not been in the Spanish program too long, to make sure that they participate in that professional development. Throughout the year, we try, Mr. Caballo and Cristina also do in-house in services or workshops during the day for those teachers on some new strategies, something that they want to discuss with the elementary, you know, with the Spanish teachers. During the year, teachers are given the opportunities to go to various professional development that the district has to offer, either during a school day, after school, or on Saturdays. During the summer now, there'll be numerous week-long summer institutes, either on reading, on math, on bilingual education, on Spanish, you know, different science, hands-on science, those type of things. So we follow the district's guidelines on giving the opportunity to teachers to participate in professional development. But the teachers have to want to go to participate in professional development.
You said that you had attended NAVE. Did any of your teachers go to NAVE for? Because sometimes NAVE has like a pre-conference institute professional development.
No one attended. We only the three of us attended this year, which we presented, and also Ms. Vega, I believe, presented.
It was in Orlando, wasn't it? Or
in
was
Tampa.
It was in Tampa. Yeah, that's right.
But we went to Orlando before, when it was in Orlando, and I was as a teacher, and the other, my two colleagues, that we were in the gifted program, and we went to present our gifted program, that it was just brand new at that time, that Midania opened the gifted program with us, and we went to present how we were pioneers also doing the gifted. Then we have been in the past participating a lot of times in NAVE, and also in the gifted international conferences.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, any of you, how are the students assigned to the different groups? I assume that the students are still assigned to the Spanish group or the English group. Is that right?
Well, is that not true?
Yes
and no, but I think students are assigned, well, number one, based on their grade level, of course. And let's say you have 150 kindergartners, and we have 8 classes of kindergarten. We separate our children based on, number one, if they're ESL, if they're still learning, you know, they're ELL, mm-hmm. English language learners. Depending, we may have an ESL or an ELL self-contained, where we put all the level ones and twos in kindergarten together in a, what's called a self-contained ELL class, ESL class. But most of the other students are placed either with an English or Spanish, because most of them will follow the bilingual track. Or, you know, the bilingual program, where half the day is 60% is in English, 40% is in Spanish. With fifth grade, the tracks are different, so they're either set up into this four track or into this four track. One thing that we do is we try to put our students that are still learning Spanish as a second language together to be able to provide additional resources and additional assistance for those students to learn the Spanish. In the upper academy, kids then are placed a little differently, because it's more of a subject-based curriculum more than elementary, where it's a classroom, you know, and Mr. Caballo can talk on that, but, you know, it's more based on if they're in international studies, if they're going to be in advanced, if they're going to be in honors, or they're going to be in advanced Spanish or regular Spanish or advanced math or algebra or pre-algebra. So based on the upper academies, you follow more of a secondary approach where you see the child to see what type of program they're going to be able to go into.
Do any of you perceive a difference in achievement level or comfort level or whatever, depending on if you're an English speaker or a Spanish speaker in the school? Let me preface that maybe with a little more context. In many dual language bilingual schools in the country, sometimes there is this sense that the English speakers are not learning very much Spanish, and that they're somewhat uncomfortable with some of the Spanish classes. They learn a lot of English, and they learn some Spanish. And so sometimes they feel as if they're not learning as much in terms of the language as perhaps the Spanish speakers are, because the Spanish speakers are developing their Spanish, and they're learning a lot of English. In other words, they're becoming more balanced as bilinguals. You perceive anything like that among the different groups of students in your school?
Well, Dania Vega can tell you more about it because she was really very instrumental in doing that and getting the message. Like sometimes it's a perception. It's the thing that we don't expect. And I am not talking about the school, but in general. And it's what you think, like, okay, a child is coming from a Latin American country and they have to learn English because, of course, in 1 year they have to, or 2 years they have to get out of ESOL. When you have an English speaker student, it's like if they know the colors and it's so funny and so, oh, they know the color, whatever, and you don't expect that they can do. But here at Coraway is different. And thanks to principals like Midania and like Alex, have been later, and with the principals later, really, that we have after that, and we had the same philosophy, and it's transmitted to the teachers also, and I have been very instrumental in that too. And our students, the English speaker students, are treated the same way as we treat the ESOL students, the one learning English. I mean, like this is they learn in both languages. And of course, if one language is a little bit more, it's stronger, of course, but they immediately, they transition into be bilingual, and this is what we are expecting, that they are bilingual and they are good in both languages. And I am going to give you an example. Not everybody is the same, but we have a child who came this year in seventh grade, not in kindergarten or first, that is easier, in seventh grade, and she didn't speak Spanish at all. But she's in gifted, she's in a family who speaks several languages, of course. And I put her in Spanish as second language, and we have one teacher just with these students who are coming, don't have vocabulary. Then in the middle of the school year, we transfer that student to another Spanish class where we have a Spanish SL, a student who are English speaker, but we are here in Coraway in third, fourth grade, fifth grade, they know. But they are not so fluent like this Hispanic. And we transfer her to that class with some Hispanic who didn't speak Spanish very well. Now the teacher is telling me that child has to go to the next level. And he has been no defect. This marking period is not expired. And he said that no. And like that, I can give you a lot of examples. We just have an article in the paper in the Miami Herald, a family coming from Quebec, three students, and it's the same. I mean, they are doing the algebra in Spanish, and they came here in sixth grade one, the other one, and they didn't know even English, because it's French speaking. They a little bit of English, and they learn. Then our students, they is the perception that we have and what we expect from them, they are bilingual in both languages, and of course we can have, because of psychological reasons, some students were a little bit slow learning the language, but it's not the average student. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Can I ask you a little bit about your experience as a student here? You were a student here, right?
Yes, I was a student here.
It's Vasquez.
I did my first grade. I used to live on 17th Terrace, and I did my first grade here.
Oh, what?
Then I left to Mexico.
We won't do any calculations in our head, but can you tell us what year that was?
Oh, my gosh. I know that I was here in 1978, 79, when I was in fifth grade, and Ms. Otolongo was my teacher. Ms. Adams was my English teacher. I was an ESOL student. So Ms. Papier, who was an awesome teacher. Awesome teacher was my teacher. Mr. Brown, who came the other day, one of the PE teachers, he was here about a month ago, and he was just the same. And Mr. Long also was and Ms. V, who is the music teacher, still today, she was my music teacher as well. Yes.
So you
I was in fifth grade and in first grade. So and my sister also studied here.
You said you were an ESOL student.
I was an ESOL student when I came back from Mexico because I had forgotten my English. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten my English.
So does that also mean that in your home you principally spoke Spanish growing up?
In my home, yes. Also, when I lived in Mexico, my parents didn't put me in an American school like most of the kids because my father used to work in the American consulate. Mm-hmm. But since my family is Cuban, my mother wanted to put me in a typical Mexican school that reminded her of Cuba. So I got to go to an all Spanish school in Mexico.
So how did you do in the program here? How did you feel about your experience as a student here in this school?
When I was a student here, it was, for me, was a normal part of it. Of speaking English or speaking Spanish. And it's funny because now I just turned 40. And it's funny because a lot of the teachers tell me, Cristina, if there's somebody here who's bilingual, you are. And I think to myself, because I was periods here and then periods in Mexico, and then I came back, I lost my English. When I went back to Mexico, I didn't want to speak English. I didn't want to because I was embarrassed too. But after Miss Papier, I never forgot my English. After that year in Crowway, I never forgot English. I did read a lot in English. That I did too. I did read a lot of Nancy Drew stories that I think that kept me, with my vocabulary. But it's funny because it was just a normal part of being. I remember when we left school here, I would walk down because I lived on 17th Terrace. And I remember that in those times, we used to watch the Three Stooges. We used to love Que Pasa USA. And when I would see Que Pasa USA in the TV, that was my family. The same thing, la abuela, el abuelo, Carmencita, Josito, that went to Miami High. That was my life, you know. La abuela with la bata de casa, with the bag. That was my, that's the way that, you know, I lived, although I lived out of Miami for a few years that I lived. But I'll never forget when I was in first grade, Miss DeMartini, I have very small glimpses of what I remember. But one of the things I do remember was Miss DeMartino coming into the classroom. It was the last classroom where Cruz Vidal is now. And I never forget, I had my first grade paper, with the big pencil. And I remember writing and Miss DeMartino saying, "You have beautiful handwriting." I'll never forget it. And it's so funny because today I'm still, when I go to workshops and things, people tell me, "You write because you're the one with the beautiful handwriting." And that is something that I never forgot. When I came years later, I had my daughter and I was a volunteer here. And I started as a 3100 with Miss Vega. It's funny because even the corridors still had a smell, I don't know, of the school when I used to come here. Because when I used to come here, I remember that the copies used to be like in purple and the ink
machine.
Yes, and that ink had a special scent to it.
I think so, we all remember it. Well, at least everybody my age remembers the smell
you remember
of the school.
That? It smelled just very like distinctive.
That. Yes,
you can. One of the things that this last school year that, I was hiring teachers, I actually hired 4 ex-Coraway alumni that were actually students from Miss A, which is from Palestine, and she's, pretty much bilingual. Yeah. Miss Abreu, which was also a teacher here. Miss Montes, two sisters that both study here, and they're all now teachers here. Mm-hmm. In different areas, but they're all teachers here.
So is the program, as you remember it then, different now? I mean, is there a lot of difference in the way in which students experience Coral Way?
I think that it's pretty much the same, because I remember that, well, I was in Ms. Sotolongo's morning group, and I remember knowing that we were in the high Spanish group. And it's funny because a lot of those students that studied that year, and some of them, are doctors. Another one is an anchor woman, Ana Cuervo. Her son comes here as well. And I remember it was the same thing. The only thing that in the afternoon when I had my English, it was a time that I would leave with Miss Papier, and then I would come back to Miss Adams' class. Mm-hmm. I remember that, but it was pretty much the same.
So you were in the Spanish group.
I was in the high Spanish group.
In the Spanish group.
Yes.
Did you have friends, student friends, who were just in the Spanish group or in the other group too, or do you remember that, if there was any difference?
The thing is that with that group, we went to special areas and everything. With most of my friends were in that group, and it's funny because I still see them a lot of times in Publix or Winn-Dixie. My kids go to summer camp at the Miami Museum of Science, and the director of the camp, his wife, was a classmate of mine in fifth grade. We used to do gymnastics when there used to be a PE field. We used to do gymnastics together, and now she has six kids. And she is completely bilingual. We speak in English, we speak in Spanish.
Was that true then, too?
She lives in North Carolina.
That you spoke English or Spanish with your friends, and it didn't really seem to...
The thing is that I had the both of best worlds, because I would come here on my vacation, and my goal, or my mother's goal, was for us to practice English because we were living in Mexico. But at my home, we would speak Spanish all the time. I mean, I'm first generation born in Miami. My parents were born in Cuba, and my mother, although she left 40 years ago, you would feel that she left 2 months ago, because in her mind, she still hasn't left Cuba. So, a lot of things...
But what about with your friends outside of school? Did you speak Spanish or English, or do you even remember?
No, I spoke both. I spoke both because I was raised, I lived a few years in Mexico, and I always spoke in both. And I would joke in both, and I would gossip in both. And, yes.
How about how your parents were...
Now, with my children, it's different now. My children are different. My husband is Colombian. And at home, I do have to remind them sometimes, oye, en español. Or if you're going to tell me in English, tell me the whole thing in English, don't. But I've done it intentionally. The last 4 or 5 years, I've been visiting Mexico with my kids. And we spend 2 or 3 weeks. And that's the best, because I relax and they practice their Spanish with friends their age.
That's interesting.
Now, when we go there, my friends tell them, please talk to my son in English, please talk to him. Because a lot of our friends in Mexico go to a bilingual school, the most expensive schools and the most, the ones where, you know, the middle, upper class ones, their kid is a bilingual, either German Spanish or French Spanish or English Spanish. My friends have their kids in a bilingual school using the same series at reading, at grade level, not to teach English, at grade level. Scott Forsman, my friends spent $500, $600 per child because the books come here from the United States. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm like, no, please, I want my kids to practice.
It is
hard. It is a commitment, it's a compromise.
I wanted to ask you, and I think anyone else, about what's happening now, too, but in terms of parents involved in the school, was there a lot of your were your parents involved in school activities? Did they come to the school for meetings, or for did they come into the classroom? How were they involved in the school?
I mean, my parents.
Your parents?
Oh no, my parents were not as involved. And when I talk to my friends about it, you know, because we talk about it all the time. I think also, and maybe you know, you can add to this. I think times have changed. I remember that my responsibility was to do homework, and there was no question about it. I mean, I would not even question it, because my mother's eyes would turn into plates Just that, I knew what trouble I was.
I think it's funny.
But kids nowadays,
that kids, that parents now are probably more involved than they were going back to elementary school. I don't remember my parents ever going to the elementary school because, number one, most of my teachers were American. They couldn't even speak to the teachers. They said, you know, parents are more involved now that it's weird, and we have more behavior problems now or more issues with students now than we probably did. There was always issue with kids or kids from the history of time. But I think parents are more involved now than our generation, which were in the same generation, more so than, you know, her children also are my generation, and it seems like they're more involved now than they were 25 years ago when I was in elementary school. So and I don't know if, is that good or bad? Is it positive or negative? But it seems like, you know.
So there is, you do have a lot more parental involvement in your programs now than before.
I've seen the change here since I've been here in 96 to now. There's more, this area has changed in the sense of it's a little more affluent and it's more involved parents, more second generation students coming into the school. Where, I'll give you an example, in 96, I think we would have 3 or 4 ESOL self-contains in kindergarten, and now I barely have one with a little bit of a second one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you've even seen the bigger change since you were here even before that.
When I was here, that we had a larger ELL population and students that were just coming from other countries and learning English and all that, but that has changed, as Alex said, because of... I just want to put, this is the last thing that I'm going to say. I want to say I think the success of this program has always been our standards. We have always had very high standards in this school. There is a pride, a general pride in the faculty, in the student body, in the staff, in everybody that works in this school. There is a tremendous pride about being in this school because this school is special. This is the best school in the whole world with our students. Except that we tell them all the time, you are in the best school, you should be very proud of being a co-away student, and that pride has come, and they have assimilated that, and everybody in this school is like a big family. We want to make this program better, and the Spanish program is not a second-class citizen in this school, which is something that is important, because some of the bilingual programs in other places is, you know, the most important program is English. The Spanish program is a second-class citizen, and we have it, but it's not as, no. Here, it's always as good as. You go into the room, and the same resources that you see in an English class, you see them in the Spanish class. Computers, books, state-of-the-art materials, everything. We never use double standards for the students. Going back to that question that you asked about if the American child or the English speaker was behind or felt that he was not at par with us. We did not use double standard. You're here to become bilingual and biliterate, and we are going to work with everybody. And by the same token, the same thing that we do with the ELL, that you said, you're here, you need to learn English because this is America and you have to learn English, which are the English speaker, you are here, this is a bilingual school, you are here to learn Spanish, and we are not going to spoon feed you, and we are not going to make a list for you, you are going to immerse, you are going to do exactly what we expect of the ELL, we are going to expect of you, and they perform, because you have to expect for them to do it, and you tell the parents, when the parents say, oh, but he doesn't understand anything, you have to speak it. No, we don't speak Spanish here to the kids that are learning English. Why are we going to translate it to English to your child? Your child is here to learn Spanish. Do you want him to learn Spanish? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, well, then he's going to go the same method. Mm-hmm. No double standards, and that works. Like Mr. Caballo said, you're coming here, we give you a little help, but afterwards, swim or sink.
Yeah, since me, Danny, I started here, and I started here, one of the things that we did is like we kind of eliminated the role of the teacher who teaches English, Spanish as a second language. We had it, but it's just to have the first vocabulary day, immediately that child is with the other regulars. And if they in the beginning that the child needs some help, but we have a paraprofessional, somebody or retired teacher, somebody in the classroom who can help a little bit. But that child is not learning only from the teachers. That child is learning from the other students. And this is why they immediately, they can learn so fast. And a child like came with me, I remember in fourth grade, though from Bulgaria, and the assistant that I had said, but do you think that they can read El Quijote, that we have a small version? He said, yes. I mean, they knew some vocabulary, and with help, they were reading. They are treated the same, and we expect the same. Mm-hmm.
I know we only have a few minutes left with you. If you could tell us briefly what you think would be your best experience as a student, and maybe your worst experience as a student when you were a student here in the school. What did you really like about your experience? What did you maybe not like so much?
Well, what I liked the most, I think, of those years was that my teachers were very involved, and my teachers, the ones that I had, were very hands-on. Miss Papier was very hands-on and very of giving a lot of examples that were very very easy to relate to. I remember that I was very, very, very involved with the classroom, very engaged in the classroom. That is something that I did like a lot. For me, it was kind of hard because I had left what I had known as my home, and I came back here, but although I was with my family, but I missed my school, I missed my friends, so my teachers made that transition smoother for me. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything you didn't particularly like?
I don't remember. I remember enjoying it very much. I really do. I really do, and my sister came to this school too, and she has very fond memories of Coral Way as well.
I have a question that I'm reluctant to ask because I think I know the answer from all of you, which has to do with whether or not you think this model of dual language, a two-way, a double immersion, it's called all kinds of things, the bilingual model, is a good model to use, not just with some people, but with maybe everybody. Would you recommend this model as a general model in education, or is it just for some populations of people?
I would recommend it. Well, I wish back in elementary school when I came and my parents moved to a certain part of the Westchester area in Miami, all the schools in that area were monolingual. There were no Spanish programs. I wish I would have had a bilingual program back in elementary school versus the, you know, because back then, this was the early 70s, mid-70s, you know, late 70s, the only bilingual program, I believe, was Coral Way. Mm-hmm. So most of the other kids, immigrant kids that came from Cuba, that came from other countries, went to a monolingual school where I don't remember having, through elementary school, I only remember having one Hispanic teacher all through elementary school. I mean, it was basically back then was most of my friends, you know, were American, or so I didn't have the experiences of a bilingual program versus Christina and some of the kids that are going through now education. That, you know, the different programs that are throughout the district and throughout the country of being able to, you know, learn that second language. And Mr. Caballo said it perfectly with those three children that we have from Quebec. I mean, amazing. They speak French. They're learning English, and they now speak French. They came here learning English and learning Spanish. Now they speak French, English, and Spanish. I mean, amazing. And, you know, around the world, you see everybody speaks at least two languages or... And it's, you know, so I recommend it. I'm sure they definitely.
The only concern that I have, we can generalize, we can use it everywhere, but in order to have a program like this to succeed, it has to have the ingredients to succeed. It has to have support from the administration, that the administration believes in it, the faculty believes in it, and everybody's willing to do what it takes to make a program like this succeed. If it's just something that, well, it's the latest and in the novelties that we have to implement, we do it, but I really don't care, or I don't think it's that important. It doesn't work like that.
Sustainability, I think, what she's saying. Can it sustain itself regardless of who's here? And it's shown itself that it's been able to sustain itself and be able to, from 1963, sustain itself, sustain itself. Mm-hmm. Little adjustments too as you go, but sustain itself, sustain itself. Where flyby programs that, yeah, we're going to do SRA 1 year, and then we're going to do this reading program 1 year, and then we're going to do this model 1 year, and then we're going to do... So I think... Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for sitting here with us this long. I'm going to go ahead and turn off the computer, the recorder now. But thank you very much. What I'd like to do.